The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Tuesday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Joe Sebilia, with news guy Al Gattulo, and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force. You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man-to-man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air, and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory.
Dwight D. Eisenhower, General Eisenhower, was the Allied Supreme Commander of the European Theater in the Second World War, and a brilliant man, a humble man, went on to become, of course, President Eisenhower, you know. And we celebrate, we remember, commemorate, and never forget June 6, 1944. Very important because it's hard to talk about on the radio because people are going, listen, let's go to recent history. As I listened to my dad tell me about the Second World War, I learned so much from it. The world would have been, I'm telling you what, it's slipping away now, but nothing compared to like what was happening in the late 1930s in Germany. And that German, the army, the Third Reich army was massive and powerful. Came up with the Blitzkrieg, and people don't even know what we fought against, and we won. We won. We went in. And again, when I think about D-Day, and then I look, and someone was kind enough to send me, or I believe I was on Twitter, and her dad actually landed there. Lois's dad landed on Omaha Beach, and we thank him for his service, Lois said. But there was like, they were different beaches. It was on Normandy, but there was Utah Beach. There was Omaha Beach, Gold Beach, Juneau, Sword Beach. And the Americans landed at Omaha and Utah. The Brits landed on Gold Beach. Canadians landed on Juneau. And the Brits landed on Sword as well. So with the Allied invasion, under the aegis of the United States of America, and don't forget, we thought that they were going to land at Calais, which is, I believe, north of Normandy, and it was so funny when you hear about the things that we did back then, where the Germans knew how great a General Patton was, George S. Patton. But, of course, he ran into political problems because, like today, he would say things that were politically incorrect, and so they vilified him, and Dwight Eisenhower had to punish him, so it took him out of the war for a while. They took Patton out of the war. Yet they said through communication underground to Germany, well, Patton is going to he's planning an invasion from Calais. That's what the Germans thought. And that's what our enemies like now. They can't believe how ridiculously politically correct we have to be. So the Germans thought Patton was going to lead this charge. So they put like some fake tanks, fake trucks, and they put it up north away from Normandy. And you know what? The Germans bought it hook, line, and sinker. And fortunately, still, they knew. And you know the stories. General Rommel, the desert fox for Germany, he had an ear infection. He didn't show up. So a lot of things happened that made Operation Overlord work. But first and foremost, the valor of the Americans with our allies storming Normandy. I was thinking about it now, and I can't get it out of my head. Just think you're in that landing gear, and you're seasick, by the way, and you've got tens of pounds. It's got to be like 50, 60 pounds of gear on your back. You know how many people drowned coming off of the landing gear? And then to run into what was machine gun fire from the Germans, and then you tell me we're not a great country. You got the nerve, the gall, to tell me we're not a great country. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you hold an office and then tell us how we're not great? How dare you come from a war-torn, drug-infested country coming into America and then you tell us how bad we are as a people and how racist we are and how fascist the police are? How dare you go in and tell and become and hate certain people and bring anti-Semitism from your country to our country? How dare you? And all I thought about, and as all I am, and all my being is of my grandparents who came here because it's a great country. They wanted to come to America. They wanted to come to America, and they didn't come to JFK in air conditioning luxury. They were on the Moltke. It was a German freighter. My grandfather Rosario came on, and you could bet he was in steerage, sweating with everybody else, wanting to come into the new country, seeing the Statue of Liberty, and appreciating this great country. I have no more patience for it. The lack of patriotism, the lack of love of country, and what do you have to do? You go through all these things that we go through. You know, we went through the civil rights in the 60s. People got whacked. They whacked JFK. Yeah, on this day, 1968, Robert Kennedy killed. Martin Luther King killed. We made it through it all. Now you got little whiny babies telling us, oh, you're racist. Oh, you owe us money. You know what? Chris Christie's going in to run for president today. To quote Chris Christie, shut up and sit down.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, really. Oh my gosh, I'm done with it. This should be first and foremost in schools. You shouldn't be dressed in some kind of trans outfit. There should be a picture of Dwight Eisenhower walking and saying, "This is the man that put together the greatest invasion against the biggest evil that mankind has ever met, Adolf Hitler. This is the guy that beat him." Oh, my Lord, what do we have to do to convince these mamalukes who don't understand how great, they will not acknowledge how great we are. How's a migrant? Oh, my gosh. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And we're going to keep fighting in the name of all those lives lost on D-Day. Let's do that today. Let's maintain our love of country.
Joe,
let's maintain the greatness of the United States of America.
I honestly hope that when Christie makes his announcement today, I know it's going to be like a video thing or whatever, but I really think he's like holding a sandwich, like in his hand, like something, you know, it would be great. And he's just eating a sandwich, taking questions, you know.
You know, I got to tell you, you know, we know Chris Christie, we know the best of Chris Christie, and we've seen and he would acknowledge the mistakes that he's made, but he was, I tell you what, during Superstorm Sandy, he was great. You can never throw that away, but I'll tell you what, when he started going into office, and he was going up against John Corzine, Governor Corzine
right.
at the time, and Corzine, they had ads of Christie in a van trying to get out of the van and wait and everything else. So now I'm leaving the kids off at school. I'll never forget this. And I'm coming up Route 31, wherever I was. And I had Don Imus on, you know. And I just goes, Chris Christie, this guy's running for governor, the U.S. attorney, running for governor. And Chris Christie, and he's coming on the show. And so Christie goes, hi, Don. And the first thing Ivan says, how much do you weigh? Like that, man.
That's awful.
But no, listen, Christie doesn't miss a beat. He goes, 671 pounds. When I got up this morning on the scale, 671, going to 672. Like right in your face. And I went, this guy's great. You got to love it right off the bat. You know, it was funny. It was funny, and he dealt with it. And it's beyond that. But I just hate to see it's going to be, Christie's whole thing is going to be going after Donald Trump. And, you know.
But again, he's got to make it there, right?
Can someone please say, in the Republican Party, what a great president Donald Trump was. Can someone say that? And don't talk to me. Oh, there goes Joe Trump again. Stop it. Right there. Stop. You know why? Look where we are today. You got a guy who hates America, who stands in front of the brightest of African-American students at Howard University. The kids are the top of their class, top of this country. Brilliant young men and women from Howard University, the historic black college and university that Donald Trump acknowledged. No other president did. And this guy, Biden, goes, the biggest problem with America is white supremacy. How dare this feckless, feeble puppet of the cabal that is running the shadow government say that and get away with it? And if you're Lester Holt, and if you're David Muir, if you're what's the one on CBS that no one watches?
Nora O'Donnell.
If you're those people this mainstream
media
people.
That's very Chris Christie. Who's the one nobody watches? Shut up and turn off the TV. Nobody cares.
Stop it. Somebody call these people out. And don't talk to me about Trump's lawyers. They went to see General Counsel Jack Smith. Let's talk about the great job Representative Comer is doing, looking at what Chris Wray is doing, as the DOJ is hiding everything, that all the influence peddling and all the alleged bribery from the Biden family. Oh, man, we ain't going down. We are fighting. We are Americans, man. We are fighting.
The problem, though, of somebody like Chris Christie or even a Mike Pence that's jumping into the race, they're polling at 2% right now. They're barely registering. So between now and the first primary, do you really think that they're going to register enough to the American people that they get into the primary? If Christie doesn't make that first primary, how does he continue his campaign? I don't care how much money he's got, because look, he's got a billionaire owner of the Mets who's funding his campaign. He's got a lot of money to throw around. 100%, 100%. But I don't see where he makes a relative enough impact that they go, okay, we're going to put him on the stage. Now, look, kudos to him if he gets there. Yeah. That's half the battle, right? And then he's going to go after Trump, and then you see what happens.
I know, but they were such buddies. Remember when Christie came?
Yeah, but Governor Christie has openly spoken out against the former president for at least a year and a half now. There's no chance. Like, somebody made a comment, he's going to have a job in the White House when Trump gets elected. I'm like, they're not friends right now. And I don't see the former president, if he does get reelected, if he turns around and says to Christie, oh, you want a job in the White House? There's no way. Listen, Christie had a job all set in the White House, and he blew it the former president was elected. So, you know, I think these two do not like one another anymore, and I think it's going to be a toe-to-toe battle if Christie gets there, and that's the big if.
Yeah, and who else? You know, and Ron DeSantis is the guy, and they're thinking Ron DeSantis is going to be the guy, but I don't know.
The two of those guys together at the first debate. That's, I think, the real marker is to see the former president and the governor of Florida go up against one another at the debate, because the rest of the if they're still there, they're going to kind of be left behind. Those two are going to go at it. Now, if Christie's there, you could see Christie jumping in and screaming at DeSantis and yelling at Trump and whatever, and it could be a free-for-all. I mean, who knows? Yeah. Somebody might walk over and try and take a swing at somebody.
I'm telling you right now, we get good instinct on all the time on the radio. You get an instinct. I want to grab a phone call, but I got to tell you, I would suggest respectfully, with great respect, by the way, to President Trump, is to just pull it back, play the elder statesman. You've proven yourself as one of the best presidents we've ever had. People don't like that, but it's true. You look at the policies, go on that, talk about that. You know, I fear that will not happen, Albert.
If the three of them get up on the stage, here's how the former president should handle it. He should walk out with Mickey ears and hand Christie a big plate of meatloaf, and then just walk over to his spot on the podium. That's what you do. If you do that, boom, you got everybody. You throw everyone off.
Wait, I like this.
Come on. He comes out and he hands him Disney ears, right? And then he walks over to Christy and there's a plate and it's meatloaf and mashed potatoes. That's how you do it. Come on, that would be brilliant.
Let me get David before we break. I want to leave time for General Kellogg. David, help me out here. How are you? Thanks for calling. What are you thinking today?
I want to say thank you very much for mentioning Normandy and D-Day.
Yes,
I had the honor of putting the American flag at half mast this morning. And Al, very spot on about who I like to call Krispy Kreme Chris Christie. Very spot on. In fact, when the gun grabber Chris Christie is up in the land of freedom, New Hampshire, I hope the good citizens up there will ask Chris Christie about the Second Amendment and his lack of support for 8 years.
Wow.
And if he is going to have a press conference with food, I was going to suggest he could have a 5 foot Jersey Mike sub and a 1 gallon diet soda, perhaps. And I wanted to remind everybody who resides in the People's Republic of New Jersey, please do your civic duty and go vote. It's primary day. And if you're an independent, well, then you can whine and complain later on. But if you are not an independent and you're not dead voting in Hudson County, do your civic duty and please go vote.
Great phone call, David. Thank you, my brother. Debbie's on the road. Said Debbie's been to Normandy, remembering June 6, 1944. General Kellogg will join us momentarily. And I love you for that, Deb, paying respects like that. Fantastic.
That was an absolutely special afternoon, without a doubt. And good morning, Joe. Let's see what's happening as we head to the inbound George Washington Bridge. A 40-minute delay to the upper level, lower level about 30. Let's go out to the Lincoln. That's almost an hour still. The outbound Lincoln is kind of busy as well. Inbound Holland, 40 to 45. Watch for delays on 80 West, exit 47, getting out toward Montville with an accident being cleared. And we're still seeing delays as you head to 287 northbound, right by Route 78. It's an overturned vehicle. It's kind of tough on the Cross Bronx east at Jerome Ave, a disabled truck, and the westbound Cross Bronx out by the Sheridan, another disabled vehicle to contend with. Watch for delays on the LIE eastbound out by the Clearview. It's an accident still being cleared, and we're seeing delays on the Southern State West at 111 with a car fire being worked on. Partly cloudy today, chance of showers later, high of 80. This total traffic and weather report sponsored by Route 22 Toyota, who reminds you, if you're tired of dealing with dummies, experience the smart way to buy at Route 22 Toyota.
Hey, Joe on the radio, tell me about Relief Factor, because I love you and I want you out of pain. I think you can get out of pain with Relief Factor, and I keep telling you because I get around like I get around. I really believe I can do it because of Relief Factor, whether it's playing the drums, whether it's jumping on stage tonight, you know, then getting up in the morning, you know, and then just running around and doing the chores around the house. Mr. Joseph, you know, the guys kid me, Mr. Joseph, I'm like the home and garden guy, you know, because I take, but I'm glad that I could do it. And I could do it, I think, because I take Relief Factor, and we want you to try it. The 3-week quick start is still only $19.95. Joe, what's in Relief Factor? Go to relieffactor.com and you'll see all the botanical ingredients that are 100% drug free in Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com. You could order the 3-week quick start for less than $20 to see if we can get you out of pain. If we can't get you out of pain, fair enough. But you know you got to give it a try for your kids and for your grandkids. 800, the number 4, the word relief, or again, please, relieffactor.com.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-500-5588. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Hey, Joe on the radio, tell me about Connors and Sullivan. Let me tell you where you can see Mike Connors for free, I know it's like a show. Well, he does two shows. I'm telling you, Mike gets around all the boroughs of Manhattan, if I may, and Manhattan and Brooklyn and Queens and all the boroughs of New York. Monday, June 19th, Buckley's Restaurant. You got a question about healthcare proxy, about nursing homes, about a living will, estate plan. Mike is there for you. Avenue West, right there in Sheepshead Bay in Brooklyn, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. How about the 20th of June, Tuesday, DeLuca's Restaurant? DeLuca's Trattoria is what it's called, right? And that is at 616 Forest Avenue, where? Staten Island, 11 and 3 p.m. Wednesday, June 21st, Greenhouse Cafe, 3rd Avenue in Brooklyn, 3 p.m., 7 p.m. Thursday, June 22nd at Connolly's Corner. That's on Grand Avenue in Maspeth, Queens, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. How about Friday, June 23rd? Look at this. Mike going out into the community. I love this. The Adria Hotel on June 23rd, Northern Boulevard in Bayside in Queens, 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Now, if you can't make any of these free seminars, I said free, call Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500. Get your own free office appointment. How about that? 718-238-6500 or ConnorsandSullivan.com.
Brandon Tatum. Tonight at 8 on AM 970. The Answer.
Joe Piscopo on the radio as we remember D-Day, the June 6, 1944. General Keith Kellogg, kind enough to join us, National Security Advisor to Vice President Mike Pence, former Executive Secretary, Chief of Staff of the United States National Security Council in the Donald J. Trump administration, the author of War by Other Means. General Kellogg, thank you so much for joining us on this special day today.
Joe, thanks for having me, and it's good to be with you.
Well, we appreciate it. I think about, and I've been railing all morning about the valor of those who lost lives, the valor of all the military and this Operation Overlord the invasion of Normandy. Just, when you went to, if I may, General Kellogg, to school, when you were in and you were in the military, I mean, they must have looked at this like a once-in-a-lifetime invasion that just, by the grace of God, certainly, but by a lot of smart people putting this together and the strength and the... Can you imagine leaving those landing craft, General Kellogg? Just leaving and running? I mean, you've been in battle, sir, so you know it might be a rhetorical question for you. I can't imagine it, but please, your overview of a D-Day, sir.
You know, Joe, you can read about it, and you can watch movies, and... you know, like Saving Private Ryan or The Longest Day, but you really have to go there. And the first time I went to Normandy, and I actually went on the 6th of June, and it was years and years ago. I've been back several times. But I went there at the exact time of the invasion, and I stood at the American Cemetery, which overlooks Omaha Beach, which, you know, bloody Omaha. You know, the other beach was not as bad, but Omaha was where the big fight was occurred. And it was at low tide, and I looked out, and I just said, how did they do this? I mean, this is when you looked at the what they had to do to fight through the hedgerows, and later when they came up, but down when they were on the beach themselves fighting through to the heights, it's just an enormous feat of arms. And the courage that it took for those men at that time to scale those beaches against formidable obstacles is just incredible. It takes your breath away, Joe. It really does. And then, you know, you just move up from Omaha, and then you go to the cemetery, and you walk around the cemetery, and it's really a place of honor. You know, it's 79 years ago, and we should never, ever forget what those men did on that beach that day, and the other Allied forces up and down the beaches, you know, Juno and Gold and the rest of them, is just stunning to me. But it really does take your breath away, and you have to go there. If you have an opportunity to go there, you need to go there. Because it's just so stunning, and it's just hard to describe. But you just sit there in wonderment that they were able to do that, you know. And then they basically, once they got the lodgment there, they clawed back freedom from tyranny, and we give them great credit for doing it. And a lot of them lost their lives that day. You know, that was the last sunrise they ever saw. It was amazing.
Well said. Not to mention, folks, these soldiers with all the, how much was that, 50, 60 pounds on your back probably, right? Just of gear. And then when they stepped into the water was deep, and a lot of these poor souls drowned. I mean, I can't even imagine. And by the way, if I may, as a General Kellogg, who comes up with the meticulous concept of how many landing craft, how many ships, when does the Navy ships, when does the bombardment start? I mean, this must have taken 2 years at least to plan, correct?
Yeah, it did, Joe. You know what's interesting? When you look at the invasion of Normandy, It actually goes back a couple of years, because when we did the landings in North Africa, that was Operation Torch. That was designed to set up the stage to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? And then, of course, Sicily was a little bit later. Here's an interesting story about Torch, though, because a lot of American generals, to include George Marshall, was not for Torch. And Roosevelt was. Roosevelt said, we were going to have to learn, President Roosevelt was going to have to learn probably the hard way to do it. And it was the only order that he gave in World War II to go forward in the Operation Torch, the invasion of North Africa, that he signed it Roosevelt Commander-in-Chief. That was the only time he ever did it. Sort of those generals were going to do it. So they learned that win, and they learned in Sicily as well. And then Eisenhower put together, you know, an incredibly brilliant plan to figure out how they were going to get on the beaches and what it was going to take. You know, and then you look at, when you look at the invasion itself, when you think about not only the invasion on the, you know, from the sea going forward, but the fact they sealed the entrances to the invasion on the left and right by paratroopers. You know, that's the reason on the northern part of it, that's the reason why the 101st and the 82nd went in, was to stop any reinforcing Germans from Cherbourg coming in. And that's when they put the British 6th Airborne on the left flank to do the same thing. And you think about, okay, they really had this thing planned. You know, I'm an old 82nd Airborne Division veteran, and I'd gone over there, again, several times with the division. And I used to just be amazed by it. I got to tell you, it's a great little story. So I go back to France when I'm a member of the commanding the 82nd Airborne Division, and at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, now at Fort Liberty, unfortunately. But there's a picture of a paratrooper. It's a grizzled old paratrooper. They call it Iron Mike. It's a bigger than life statue of a soldier with his hands, you know, with his Tommy gun, the machine gun, on his knee. And I go to France, and they have the same statue that the French put where the drop zones were for the 82nd. And I remember when they unveiled it, and I sat there, and I actually had tears in my eyes. And so the French came up and said, "What is it?" I said, "Here's what's amazing. The other picture, the other statue at Fort Bragg, is an old grizzled veteran. This is exact replica of that statue, except for one thing. It's a young man." And I said, "And the difference between the two," and it basically says, these were, when those young men invaded Normandy, they were young men in the height of their lives. And a lot of them didn't make it. And then they had to go through that war, and they became the grizzled veterans of the greatest generation. And that was one of those that I'll never forget going to. And just that's the reason I tell people, you know, you need to sit and remember history, remember what it took to do that, and thank God that we had men like that.
And to go into North Africa, you know, because my pop landed, and help me out, General, if you would. He landed up Taranto, up in the boot of Italy. That's where he came up, but he must have came up from Africa. And when they were on their way to Bari and Foggia, my pop put the bombs on those B-17s and B-24s that went into bomb Berlin. You know, not to mention northern Italy when the Nazis still had northern Italy. But I guess the troops came up from, that was the only way to get in, because that told me, General Kellogg, forgive me, but that he had to leave from the West Coast because he couldn't cross the Atlantic because of all the you know, those U-2 boats that the Germans were sinking everything, correct?
Yeah, when they did the invasion of Italy, they started with Sicily and moved forward, and then they thought they were going to do an end run, basically go to Rome, and that's when they hit Anzio. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why, a little known thing of history, why one of the parachute regiments of the 82nd Airborne Division did not participate in D-Day, the 504th Parachute Infantry. It happened to be the regiment I was associated with over years later, because they went into Anzio and had to fight their way toward, try to fight their way towards Rome. Whoa. And then they realized that was not a good idea.
Yeah.
So, but they learned all those hard lessons early on, and then Eisenhower, because Marshall had given him the command to lead it, you know, and it was amazing. Eisenhower was really given a really simple mission. And then you think about this one, trying to plan it. And because Marshall said to Eisenhower, "This is your job, invade the continent of Europe and defeat the Axis powers." I said, "Well, that's a hell of a job, you know." But he had to then figure it from there. You know, that was how he gave him the task to do it. And then they came up with, you know, where to do it, where to go into Normandy, why they did Normandy, and then, you know, in the breakout, and then what occurred from there, including keeping Patton and his Third Army in reserve in England until the invasion, actually, they had the start of the breakthrough, and then he made the great breakthrough towards Avranches and places like that.
Great history, a great country. General Kellogg, thank you for sharing that, because I'm telling you, I come before the mic this morning so proud, only from my dad, rest his soul. He's the guy that enlightened me how we saved the world, General Kellogg. And like our buddy KT McFarland said, twice we saved the world, World War One, World War Two, and we continue to fight, and we should be so very, very proud. And I know you feel it heart and soul, General Kellogg, so a privilege to have you on with us this morning to remember those lives lost on June 6, 1944, sir.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, General Kellogg, and thank you for your service. General Keith Kellogg right there. Remembering D-Day in 1944. Joe Borelli is going to join us. You know, Joe's the minority leader of the New York City Council. Apparently, the mayor of New York wants you to house a migrant.
Well, maybe he'll host one. And water the flowers. You know,
I go from the valor of General Kellogg to let's go to New York and let's will you stop, Al. With that.
What?
Stop
I just said that. Yes. I agreed with you.
Joe Borelli will join us.
If anyone's listening in Espanol, you know.
Yeah. And Al is in the newsroom on AM 970. The Answer. Stop.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970. The Answer.
68 degrees and mostly cloudy at 935. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. New York City celebrating its digital gaming community in a summer-long series. New York City Summer of Games will kick off this Saturday at the Intrepid Sea Air and Space Museum with the first-ever in-person Minecraft Education Battle of the Boroughs Mayor's Cup. The event will also feature a Digital Games Career Expo. The kickoff of New York City Summer of Games comes 1 year after Mayor Adams invested $2 million in creating a digital game design program at CUNY. The goal is to make New York City a global hub for the digital games industry. A New Jersey group fighting hunger in minority and low-income neighborhoods has launched a series of community refrigerators to provide healthy meals for residents. The organization is named the Coalition for Food and Health Equity, and they've begun rolling out these computerized refrigerators that offer anyone in need healthy pre-made food from local restaurants for free with no questions asked. Two are located in Paterson and Passaic, with others installed in Jersey City and Newark. A fifth community refrigerator is coming soon to Philadelphia. Future plans call for refrigerators to be installed in South Jersey. In sports, Yankees and Mets both off. The Bombers open up a series with the White Sox tonight at the stadium, while the Amazons are in Atlanta to take on the Braves. The Golden Knights just 2 wins away from hoisting the Stanley Cup. The top overall seed in the Western Conference blew out the Panthers 7-2 in Game 2 from Las Vegas. They lead the series 2-0. Game 3 set for Thursday in Florida. And this sports report brought to you by Relief Factor. Get pain-free today. Stuck in traffic? Debbie Duhame's got the answer.
And good morning, Al. Let's go out to the Southern State westbound at 111. It's a car fire still being cleared. Couple of lanes blocked. A lot of volume on the Cross Bronx East by Jerome Avenue. A disabled tractor trailer. That's causing delays back to the George Washington Bridge. Inbound side of the George Washington Bridge, you're waiting 35. Over at the inbound Lincoln 40. Holland, still a 40-minute delay getting into town. Watch for delays as well as you head over to the southbound Harlem River Drive. Solid traffic down through the 140s. FDR Drive South, heavy right through the 70s. It's kind of busy on the Clearview South at the LIE with a crash. A lot of volume at the Queens Midtown Tunnel getting into town, and the LIE East at the Clearview. Again, that accident just about cleared. Watch for delays on 80 West exit 47 with an accident getting out through Montville, and 287 North at Route 78. Overturned vehicle just cleared away. Partly cloudy today. Chance of a shower later. High of 79. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame with Joe Piscopo. AM 970, The Answer. This total traffic and weather report is sponsored by Route 22 Toyota, who reminds you that if you're tired of dealing with dummies, experience the smart way to buy at Route 22 Toyota.
Hey, thanks, Deb. Let me tell you about the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, supporting America's heroes and their families since September 11th, 2001, like Franklin, Tennessee police officer Jeffrey Carson and his family. Officer Carson spent 14 years with the Franklin Police Department before he suffered a fatal heart attack in the line of duty in 2022. Within weeks, Tunnel to Towers met with Officer Carson's wife and son to let them know they would never have to worry about their mortgage again. When a first responder dies in the line of duty and leaves behind a young family, Tunnel to Towers is there to take care of them. The foundation has helped hundreds of first responder families across America by removing the burden of a mortgage, thanks to supporters like you. Join them, please. Continue to join them in their mission. It only takes $11 a month. Donate to Tunnel to Towers by visiting, please, t2t.org. It's T, the number 2, and then t.org. And we always appreciate you being there for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Let me hear the word. Hey everybody, it's Hezekiah Walker here. Don't miss your Sunday morning celebration with yours truly, Hezekiah Walker, 7 a.m. on AM 970, The Answer. We are playing the best in gospel worship to lift your praises to God. So join me this Sunday morning and get your worship on with Sunday morning celebration with yours truly, Hezekiah Walker. To find more celebration, just follow me on Facebook, the official Hezekiah Walker page, Bishop Hez on IG, and the Hezekiah Walker YouTube channel.
This is Dennis Prager. Sign up today for an unforgettable experience in Israel this October. Mike Gallagher and I are traveling to the Holy Land on the Stand with Israel tour with our trusted partner, Inspiration Cruises and Tours. This trip of a lifetime to Israel is one you don't want to miss. Register today before it's too late at StandWithIsraelTour.com, StandWithIsraelTour.com, or call 855-565-5519, 855-565-5519.
Thank you, Mr. Prager. Hey, Joe on the radio telling you about Route 22 Toyota, because I'm telling you, you're going to get great deals from Alex Kinsella and the team at Route 22 Toyota. Because if you call 973-705-8905, Alex is there with the team, and they're going to hold on to RAV4s. They're going to hold on to Highlanders and Camrys and Corollas. They're going to hold on to inventory, and they have the area's largest inventory of new Toyota vehicles, you know. So, but they want to hold on to it for you, for their customer base in Jersey and New York. So you got to call 973-705-8905, all right? Because everybody's calling out of state, you know, and they say, oh, I'll pay more for it. But no. Alex and the team at Route 22 Toyota with Iggy Giuffre and the great team over there saying, we're going to hold on to the inventory that we have for you. So 973-705-8905. And then you can check out, by the way, a great selection of pre-owned and Toyota certified used vehicles while you're there. Okay. So it's Route 22 Toyota, and it's right there, conveniently located on Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey. And you just tell them, please, Joe Piscopo sent me.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
Got something to say? Call into the Joe Piscopo Show right now. 877-970-2999. That's 877-970-2999.
A ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding, ring-a-ding-ding.
Hey, Joe on the radio. It's 941 and Joe on the radio as well. Councilman Joe Borelli, minority leader of the New York City Council. Joe, Councilman, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. How you doing this morning, Joey?
Joe, thank you as always, and good morning.
Hey, so are you making way in the basement for a migrant? Are you planning and restructuring the house to put a migrant in there?
I mean, $125 a night seems to be the rate for the churches. So, you know, that's a few grand a month. I could use this. I mean, I haven't seen any property tax relief or property tax reform. If the guy or gal can help around the house, you know, maybe I'm in. Who knows?
I said, so you know what? Oh, can you charge? Can you charge the state if you take in a migrant like that? I mean,
rest assured, this is not being done for free. Rest assured, this is not a voluntary. I mean, it'll be voluntary in terms of who gets the migrants. But this is not going to be a charitable endeavor. This will be people being paid. Now, a lot of New Yorkers within an earshot of me live in residential buildings. I mean, this could essentially turn your residential apartment building, into a migrant shelter. Because once one tenant comes, you know, maybe the neighbor decides it's a good idea. And now, you know, down the line, now you have a whole constant shelter hanging out.
Do you think Mayor Adams is opening Gracie Mansion this morning for you? Think maybe? Huh?
I think that should be the first place. It's a big house. It's a big house, and
beautiful.
They got a tent in the backyard. So, I mean, this should be the first. And then he should keep the $100 a night. I don't, you know, God bless. If he wants to take a migrant, he should keep the $100 a night. But it should be the first spot.
You know, hey, Joe, help me out here, because I see a lot of these moped crimes are happening now. And someone just said online, and it seemed to be true, that those moped crimes, you know, you get a guy driving the moped or the whatever it is, a little small motorcycle, and then someone is on the back, and then the person on the back will rob your chain, rob your phone, or worse. And that's very...
Yeah, I remember going to Argentina in, you know, 2008, 2009, and even Argentina was kind of up and coming at that point. It wasn't even a desolate wasteland. But that was a major crime that every tourist book, every local would say, hey, listen, if you go to the ATM, you know, and you hear a moped pull up behind you, you know, run as fast as you can. Right. That was the kind of the law. Now we see these sort of third world country crimes coming to New York. And part of the problem, and the chief part of the problem, is that there's just never any consequences for any of these people. There are 3,000, maybe 600 people on Rikers Island. Do you think there's 3,600 crimes that were committed in the past, say, 6 months or so? Absolutely not. That still means that people who are out there committing violent crimes are not getting caught. And if they are getting caught, they're not spending any serious time in jail or prison.
But that's so weird, man, because if the migrants are in and then we don't monitor them 24/7 and all of a sudden they see a scooter and isn't it just a little curious that the crimes of South America are now coming to New York City after this influx of illegal aliens? Joey, I just can't believe that we're not addressing it. And then to your point, then you got Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, and other DAs that just don't give any kind of consequence for any crime. It's tough.
I want to hear from the Bronx, Joe. I want to hear from people in the Bronx, because we spend so much time talking about Alvin Bragg, we forget about the person with the worst conviction rate and the most dismissals is actually Darcell Clark in the Bronx.
Yeah.
Now, in Manhattan, the crime rate is lower per capita than a lot of places, but the Bronx, it's pretty high. So it doesn't even make sense why there would be, you know, so much deference paid to this district attorney who just seems to want to do everything but rein in the crime problem. There are plenty of people, by the way, who deserve a second chance, who don't need to go to prison, who should be treated with a little mercy and sympathy from the court. There's thousands of those people. But the problem is they treat everyone like that person and not like the recidivist that many of them actually are. That's the problem we face.
Yeah, it's so true. And you're talking about it in the council, but then I see some other folks in the council doing press conferences. They just won't address it. Are they afraid to speak the truth? They know, you know, and when you look at your colleague, a Democratic colleague in the eye on the council in New York City, they know exactly what's going on. They just don't have the courage to do it, and they just virtue signal and say, oh, no, we're not going to lock up the criminals.
No, their life is devoted to pandering to the few thousand people who make up the primary voters in Democratic primary elections. Yes. So when they come out and say, you know, which they just did, that we need a panel to review all these cases on Rikers Island to release these people, they're not being, absent-minded. They're being very critical and careful in policies they're supporting because of that voter base.
Yeah, it's so true. Hey, so I don't know what the end game is, but you got to. I know you continue to fight the fight, but on these, let me go to the places of worship, because, you know, I'm a diehard, guilt-ridden, church-going, God-fearing Italian Catholic. You know that, Joe Borelli. So I got to say this with great respect to the Catholic Church. We know why they're bringing in the migrants on the Democratic Party. That is to blow out voting districts so they could all vote Democrat. Now, and we know why a lot of the houses of worship, forgive me, but a lot of the folks that are these, you know, non-governmental organizations, these NGOs, are bringing in people so they could maybe stack the churches. I'm thinking,
Joe,
that's what
Joe, Joe, you're too good. I'm going to use the word that you're dancing around. They're called poverty pimps. A lot of these church administrators, these pastors, they are doing this solely because, again, this is not a charitable thing, right?
Yeah.
Charity would mean you're you know, clothing these migrants out of the donations raised by your church. That's not what's happening here. They're being paid. Those are the ones who are actually getting the $125, I think the mayor announced, at night to house people in your neighborhood. Now, we have some groups in Staten Island, some churches, that we're supportive of because they've taken homeless people off our streets. Now, the role's reversed. They're going to get paid to bring homeless people to our streets. And I think these groups are going to lose a lot of sympathy.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Joey, thanks for staying on top of it. Thanks for the fight. We'll see you soon, my friend. I always appreciate you.
Sounds good.
Sitting in for
Thank you.
Thank you for everything, Joe. Thanks for always supporting the show. Joe Borelli right there, minority leader of the New York City Council, doing a great job in the great city of New York. And it's an uphill battle, uphill battle. Imagine he's like and he's a very pragmatic guy, Joe Borelli is. But he's a Republican, and if he speaks one way, you know, got these and you call them progressives, we call them regressives. Regressive socialists is what they are in the council.
And you haven't seen the councilman until he's in a robe and slippers, and he's watering the flowers, a cigar in the morning, the nobly, the sidewalk, the time-honored tradition of watering the New York sidewalks. It's fantastic.
You don't think it does my heart good to see this kid at a young age that he is? He's like, he's old school.
The garden, like a, garden in the backyard.
He's an old Italian guy in his heart. I know he is.
It's awesome.
Oh, man.
He's a good man, and he does a lot for his constituents. I mean,
does. He's so on top of it.
Yep.
That's Joe Borelli right there. Joe on the radio with Al and Joey. Joe Sibilia, you doing okay today?
I am doing all right.
All good stuff. And
yes, the councilman is a great guy, so hopefully we'll see him soon here again in studio.
You know what? And also, I don't mean to I hope I didn't sound too negative, and you could bring Debbie in on
Debbie's not here. She's on tape.
Oh, you told me that.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
First thing you told me. But I hope I didn't sound too negative about the party, but you
understand.
Oh,
no. No.
Not at all.
Not at all. Boy, I'd be thrilled to attend. Knowing the backstory going in.
Al, you understand. Tell me you understand.
No, of course.
Get Larry David on the phone, please.
The party. Really?
It makes me glad I'm taking six trains, two buses, a car.
Joe's walking like the last mile to get there.
Show up with Richard Lewis. You know, I just got to be whining and complaining, man. Oh, Lord.
You know, it's a party.
Yes, I can't wait.
But it's for you. Come on. All these people are there for you. Hold on. Let me ask you.
Yes,
would you be more excited if seven people showed up or if 70 people showed up?
No. It's going to be great.
Just making sure. Because I can see you seven. Oh, yes.
Joe just wants a quiet birthday with the kids and his family, and I understand that.
Yeah, that's pretty much my wheelhouse right there.
All right, everybody out!
No. But again, I have to emphasize, I'm so blessed to have so many great people.
After I've been negative for 3.5 hours, I'm blessed with the fact that people want to show up. That they want to come and see.
Negative for more like 3.5 months. Let's be honest here.
Will there be a priest at the party? That's the most important thing.
Thank everybody for coming to my party. No, yes, of course there will be a priest. Of course there will be a priest there. And you know what? It's going to be great. I just feel fun. I don't feel like I deserve it. That's the bottom line.
It's your birthday.
Look, in Pennsylvania, they have parties that last 50 minutes. That's your kind of party.
Is that right?
I went to a birthday party once. It lasted 50 minutes, and it was over, and we were all out. Out of the house.
Who kicks everybody out? The host? I mean...
After 50 minutes, the party was over, and everybody left.
Joe wants to know more about this.
Birthday party.
Guy's eating a piece of food. He gets a plate taken away. Nope. Sorry. That's it. Time's up. Time's up, fatty. Get in the gym.
All right. Let's jump to Debbie, 952 on the radio, AM 970. The answer?
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Hey, Joe, have a fantastic day. Let's go outside, see how things are shaping up as you head over to the Hudson River Crossing. Still about 35 minutes in at the George Washington Bridge, 40 at the inbound Lincoln, 40 at the inbound Holland Tunnel. Traffic is still kind of tough as you head to 80 West, exit 47, getting out toward Parsippany, with an accident being cleared to the shoulder, the Cross Bronx East out by Jerome, a disabled tractor trailer. Watch for delays on the southbound Clearview right into the LIE with a collision. And over on the Staten Island Expressway westbound, slowing down by Bradley Ave. That's all due to some ongoing construction work heading through that area. And problems on the Southern State Parkway West at 111. It's a car fire. That one is still being cleared. And watch for delays to Conic South in Putnam Valley with a collision. This total traffic and weather report is sponsored by Route 22 Toyota, who reminds you, if you're tired of dealing with dummies, experience the smart way to buy at Route 22 Toyota.
This is Jerry Boyer for townhall.com. During the crisis over the debt ceiling, President Biden, following a number of congressional leaders, including Bernie Sanders, John Fetterman, Elizabeth Warren, and members of the so-called squad, laid claim to a power which no president has ever claimed before. The president said that an obscure provision of the 14th Amendment, which states that the public debt should not be questioned, means that he could violate the debt ceiling set by Congress. This interpretation is nonsense. The amendment was intended to stop Southern states from defaulting on Union debts from the Civil War. It in no way transferred Congress's authority over debt to the presidency, which would constitute the greatest executive branch power grab in history. Biden ended up not using the tactic, but he did use it for leverage, and it is now an article of faith for the Democrats. This is dangerous to our constitutional order and to both U.S. and global financial markets. It should be roundly condemned. I'm Jerry Boyer.
Car payments, credit card payments, home loans. Man, that's a lot of debt for you to carry. Let us help you get caught up when you enter the $18,000 Get Caught Up Sweepstakes. The grand prize winner gets up to $10,000 in debt relief. Three first prize winners will get up to $1,000 in debt relief. And 10 second prize winners will get $500 in debt relief. That's $18,000 total. And that could be you.
Go to am970theanswer.com to enter. That's am970theanswer.com.
The Relief Factor Pain-Free Studio. Say goodbye to pain and hello to relief with Relief Factor today.
Feel like you're trying to push a boulder uphill wearing skates? If you run or manage a local business today, you're challenged like never before. We get it, and we want to help. We're Salem Surround. We're a full-service marketing agency that'll help you increase your customer base by designing incredibly effective plans to reach your consumers day, night, and everywhere they might be.
If you're a local business and want to see what Salem Surround can do for you, Google Salem Surround New York. Remember to Google Salem Surround New York today.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
It's the AM 970 Weather Answer Forecast.
Going to be looking at partly sunny skies in general today, but we also have some thunder showers that'll push through in the afternoon and evening, giving way to a partly cloudy sky overnight. In addition to that, we also have some smoke from the Canadian wildfires causing hazy skies and poor air quality. Our high today is going to reach 77, low tonight 59. Partly sunny, still hazy tomorrow with a high of 76, and then we'll see another shower chance Thursday. I'm Jeff Nordine on AM 970, The Answer.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Let me tell you about the Balance of Nature, okay? Fruits and vegetables in capsule form. Balance of Nature is not like ordinary vitamins. Ordinary vitamins are made with synthetics. Balance of Nature is a natural food in a vegetarian capsule with tens of thousands of vital nutrients maintained and retained in the capsule by Dr. Douglas Howard. He came up with the concept. It took him years to develop this, by the way. You know, it's not just something that just happened. And when you take a daily dose of Balance of Nature capsules, take them in the morning, take them at the evening, that has 10 servings. Each daily dose has 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. You're never going to have that many fruits and vegetables. That's why I take more than two doses. I really take more than that because of my hectic, chaotic lifestyle. And I really believe I get the energy, I get the wellness, I build up my immune system is what I believe with Balance of Nature because I take it the way I do with the daily doses of fruits and vegetables that I just plain don't eat, okay? So now this, you get 35% off on Balance of Nature on any new preferred order. You get your own health coach. Oh, yes, you do. Access at no additional charge to your own health coach. Let me give you the number, 800-246-8751. It's 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Would you do that this morning? Just remember the discount code, please. Answer. All right, guys. Well, sorry about the calls. We'll get them tomorrow. I am going getting no sleep this week, but it's okay. I'll be working tonight, be up in the morning. And then Thursday, going to the Yankee game Thursday for some...
Oh, nice.
It's like Frank Sinatra celebration all week long with the White Sox series, I believe. And I'm going to go pay tribute to Mr. Sinatra and the family out there at Yankee Stadium with my son Joey and Joe Sebelia. Great show. Thank you so much. And Al's going to take off on Thursday. Where are you going Thursday, Al?
The hospital to take my wife for a procedure.
Oh, you're such a good
That's
husband.
Exciting.
Where are you going Saturday? Not to Joe's party.
No.
Oh, please. I'm grateful. I am grateful, immensely grateful. Just shy. I'm a shy guy with great humility. Debbie, thank you. Cara Fusaro, thank you. And Michael, thank you for answering the phones. And thank you most of all for listening. God bless you. We're going to podcast the show out about now. And let's talk tomorrow, all right? Make it a great day. You know why? Because you deserve it.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.